Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this day, back in 1977, that the Florist Trans World Delivery, FTD, reported that the number of orders placed today for flowers to be delivered had surpassed the number for any other event in the company's history. What was the event that caused this record number of flowers ordered on this day back in 1977? And question number two, it was on this day back in 1939 that The Wizard of Oz premiered in New York City. What was the name of the song from that film sung by Judy Garland? Was it A, Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Was it B, Moon River? Was it C, As Time Goes By? Or was it D, When You Wish Upon a Star? 1939, Judy Garland. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August the 17th. Well, it was on this day back in 1838 that 138 singing teachers traveled to Boston, Massachusetts to attend the very first music convention in the U.S., 1838, today. And it was 49 years ago today, 1969, that the Woodstock Music and Art Fair in New York came to an end. The event had lasted for 3 days. 1969. Oh, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. You're the key to my peace of mind. 'Cause you made me feel, you made me feel, you made me feel like a natural. Aretha Franklin performing You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman introduces this final transition piece. It's an article titled, AP Source, Soul Icon Aretha Franklin is Seriously Ill. This is written by Mesfin Fekadu in the NWI Times on the 13th of August, 2018, New York, AP. Fans and friends, including Mariah Carey and Missy Elliott, offered prayers and well wishes to Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who is seriously ill. A person close to Franklin, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because the person was not allowed to publicly talk about the topic, told the Associated Press on Monday that the singer is seriously ill. No more details were provided. Carey, who considers Franklin one of her biggest influences, wrote on Twitter that she is praying for the Queen of Soul. Missy Elliott said that the public has to celebrate iconic artists before they die. It should be noted that a follow-up article on the next day said that family members, some of them, claim the illness may be over-exaggerated. Well, you know, Franklin is considered one of the greatest singers of all time and is known for hits like Respect and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, Franklin, who had battled undisclosed health issues in recent years, canceled planned concerts earlier this year after she was ordered by her doctor to stay off the road and rest up. She was originally scheduled to perform on her 76th birthday back in March. Last year, the icon announced her plans to retire, saying she would perform at some select things. One of those select events was a gala for Elton John in November in New York City, where Franklin closed the event with a collection of songs, including I Say a Little Prayer. She talked about this great big special she was going to have in New York with all her great friends performing. She was still hoping and wishing and dreaming, as we do in this business. And in country and bluegrass music news, we have this review of a new album by Old Crow Medicine Show. The name of the album is Volunteer, and it's given 3 out of 4 stars in this review, which is published in The Week magazine, May the 11th, 2018. A full 20 years after Old Crow Medicine Show was born, the band finally feels fully realized, said Tom Erlewine in AllMusic.com. On the Nashville-based sextet's first album of original music for a major label, Kretsch, Secor, and the boys broaden their sonic palette without abandoning their devotion to old-timey string music, and their songs feel finely etched, and the performances vivid. Best known for the instantly eternal Wagon Wheel, the band has always been a high-energy live act that until now has sounded less spirited in the studio, said Chris Connaughton in PopMatters.com. Working here with Dave Cobb, Nashville's hottest producer, Old Crow, mostly goes loud and fast, opening with fiery bluegrass fiddle on Flicker and Shine. Even in such company, though, the slower tracks leave a lasting impression. Whirlwind, about a couple in love, closes the album with pedal steel guitar, wistful, easygoing air, and an oh-so-sweet vocal performance from Secor. Verdi's Triumphal March from Aida introduces our classical music news. It's an article entitled Woman Detained in Slovakia for Playing Verdi for 16 Years. This is published in bbc.co.uk on the 9th of August 2018 by Tom Mulligan. A woman who has been driving her neighbors crazy by blasting out opera music for 16 years has finally been arrested in Slovakia, it's reported. According to Hungarian news site Parameter.sk, the woman, identified only as Eva N., played a 4-minute aria from Giuseppe Verdi's La Traviata nonstop in her house with speakers on full blast from morning until night. Parameter? .sk says that the homeowner in the southern town of Sturovo played the music for years to drown out a neighbor's loud barking dog and had simply continued doing it. Residents poured out their anger to local media, furious that the high-volume harassment had been allowed to go on for so long. I love Placido Domingo, one woman said in a video for Hungarian news site Index.hu, referring to the Spanish singer whose version she was playing, but not like this. The whole street is suffering, another resident told the Slovak SME newspaper. Police arrested the woman on Monday, and she faces charges of harassment and malicious persecution. She's been remanded in custody, and if found guilty, she could face between 6 months and 3 years in prison. It has not been made clear when she will stand trial. This is not the first time that someone has stood trial for disturbing neighbors by playing a song loudly and on repeat. In March 2017, a British woman from Walsall was jailed for repeatedly playing Ed Sheeran's Shape of You and causing, quote-unquote, a wholly unacceptable level of disturbance. Jazz and swing music news, we have this article entitled Our Love, Sinatra Song of the Century, number 24. This is published by Mark Stein on the 10th of April, 2015, in the website steinonline.com. For many years, it was thought that Frank had gone into the studio and recorded a demo disc of Our Love as some kind of wedding gift for Nancy Rose Barbato in Hoboken. The circumstances surrounding this recording are vague, to say the least. On March the 18th, 1939, Frank Sinatra walked into a recording studio for the first time. It was Harry Smith's studio in Manhattan, an unassuming room, but one in which the past and the future, the public and private Sinatras, were all present. The orchestra played three instrumentals. Sinatra could feel the time and his opportunity slipping away. He went up and asked the band leader, "May I sing?" The band leader checked the time. They had a few minutes left on the clock, told him to pick a song from the handful of stock arrangements publishers sent out to promote their material. He made his choice and took his place at the microphone. And then, for the first time, in any recording studio anywhere, Frank Sinatra started to sing. It's a remarkably assured performance, even more so when one considers it's a brand new song. In a commonplace, medium-slow foxtrot treatment, you can nevertheless hear pre-echoes of Sinatra's Tommy Dorsey ballads from a year or two later. The legato phrasing, his ability to float smoothly across the orchestra, even when, as here, the orchestra isn't up to his level. And this has been Frank Sinatra singing Falling in Love with Love in the background right now.
With love everlasting, but love fell out with me.
And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Best Buy Relegating CDs to Bargain Bins as Sales Dwindle. This is written by Kavita Kumar, published in Minneapolis Star Tribune on the 23rd of July, 2018. Best Buy is paring the CDs available at its stores and removing them altogether from its website. The beleaguered compact disc, made increasingly obsolete in the age of streaming, now has found itself in the bargain bin. Richfield-based Best Buy, once one of the bigger music retailers with several aisles of CDs, now has a time capsule to another era jumbled up inside the $5.99 bargain bin. Lynyrd Skynyrd, The Who, Cat Stevens, Billy Ocean, Lionel Richie, all a nod to the aging demographics of those who still buy them. Does anybody remember the last time they bought a CD? Best Buy CEO Hubert Jolly asked rhetorically earlier this year in confirming the retailer is de-emphasizing the category. The truth is that CDs have been in a freefall for more than a decade. In recent years, Best Buy's collection had been reduced to a single row. Displays of iTunes gift cards can be found more easily and plentifully in its stores than CDs. CD sales falling while vinyl records tick up. CD's rapid ascent in the 90s as people transitioned from cassette players and records peaked in the U.S. with nearly a billion units sold. They are now in freefall, while vinyl records are seeing a small resurgence. Best Buy is also in the process of removing CDs altogether from its website. It only has a handful of audio systems with a CD player left in stores as streaming takes over the music business. "I don't know if I've ever bought a CD," said high schooler Tommy Zimbinski, who sometimes listens to his parents' collection but mostly streams music on sites such as Spotify and Pandora. He was, however, buying a handful of records. Indeed, while CDs have been on the decline, vinyl has been on the rise, prompting Best Buy to still carry LPs and Target to add them in the fall. Target, too, is cutting back on its CD collection. Target is in the midst of an aggressive push to modernize hundreds of its stores. As stores are remodeled, the space for CDs, especially those catalog titles, will be further squeezed, says Joshua Thomas, a company spokesman. Target also has continued to partner in recent years with A-list stars such as Justin Timberlake and Taylor Swift on selling exclusive versions of albums. But down the road, Stephen Baker, a tech analyst with NPD Group, sees Target and other larger retailers such as Walmart following Best Buy's lead when it comes to CDs. The article skips down. "There's still a billion-dollar business. That's nothing to shake a stick at," said Kara Duckworth, spokesman for the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. "There are still fans who love CDs and want to continue to have that tactile experience of holding a physical product and reading through the liner notes, the cover art, and all of that. People talk about the rise of vinyl, but we still have thousands of regulars who come in throughout the year who are still committed to CDs," he said. "The demographic skews a little bit older, but I'm also surprised how many young kids are buying them. Some of those regulars own 1,000 to 2,000 CDs and like the quality of sound compared to streaming and other options." Joel Anderson, 52, still buys CDs but acknowledges only his desktop computer can still play them. But there are some occasions that still bring him to a music store, such as shopping for his wife's birthday, as he did recently. He picked up a couple of CDs for her, noting that she worked at a record store in college, so still appreciates physical music. "Gifting music is not as fun with a subscription," he said.
If everybody had a notion across the USA, then everybody'd be served like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Warachi sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, serving USA.
The Beach Boys, Surfin' USA, introduces our rock and pop music news. This is published in the Wall Street Journal, August 11 through 12, 2018 edition. Summertime and the music is easy. Today, the songs of summer are usually lighthearted party anthems, but history shows that they can go beyond auditory cheesecake. What was the song of last winter? Or the definitive spring song of 2018? Well, don't feel bad if you can't answer. No one seems to care much about picking songs for those seasons. But start talking about the song of the summer and arguments rapidly escalate. Billboard even publishes a chart to track the contenders. It'll be hard for any song to top last summer's Despacito, which racked up a stunning 5 billion views on YouTube. But Cardi B's 2018 hit I Like It, performed with reggaeton stars Bad Bunny from Puerto Rico and J Balvin from Colombia, has enjoyed great success with its similar Latin flavor and festive spirit. Other contenders, including Drake's Nice for What and LMI's Boot Up, aren't far behind in views. Melancholy songs about broken hearts and weepy lovers have always been popular, but they rarely get much traction as summer anthems. Just look at the appointed hits of summer's past for a guide. Katy Perry's California Girls, 2010. LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem, 2011. And OMI's Cheerleader, 2015 are par for the course. These foot-tapping tunes, each promoted by a video filled with upbeat images of vacation time revelry, conveyed a simple message. School's out and good times are here. But enjoy them while you can. Summer only lasts so long. The first battles over the Song of the Summer happened more than a century ago, but the disputes were rarely about records back then. They were mostly about sheet music. In 1902, you could debate whether the season's best was on a sunny afternoon or in the good old summertime. Both were gentle waltzes, unsuitable for your hot August playlist in 2018. But some things about the Song of the Summer haven't changed. Then as now, it needed a catchy melody and a carefree spirit to fit the bill. You couldn't hear the favored summer songs on the radio back in 1902. The first music broadcast wouldn't happen until 4 years later. But that was okay. Someone would pound it out on the saloon piano or maybe sing it on the street corner for tips. You could even hear it at home if someone in your family played an instrument or you owned that newfangled device, the player piano. The article skips down and ends with this. Maybe we should stop and think what music fans of previous generations might have said about their summer songs. Back in the 1930s, listeners were keenly aware that popular music was breaking down racial barriers. Benny Goodman shook up not just the music world, but all of America by touring with an interracial combo decades before Brown versus Board of Education. And when a disruptive generation embarked on the Freedom Summer in 1964, or the Summer of Love in 1967, its members also drew on favored melodies for inspiration. If you heard Bob Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changing, or Aretha Franklin's Respect during those volatile years, you immediately understood that songs served as a kind of leading social indicator, alerts from the future playing on your radio today. This music was about changing hearts and minds, and although it also entertained, that was never its core mission. It's good to have a happy-go-lucky playlist of your beach vacation, but we pay a price when the dominant musical culture ignores so many other aspects of songs. By all means, keep on searching for the perfect tune for pool parties and school breaks, but let's also celebrate songs that challenge perceptions and broaden horizons. We might even need them when we get back to business in the fall. I know it's a bit early for Christmas tunes, but not for Christmas show tickets. So our local music news then announces this. Tickets have just gone on sale this week for the autism-friendly performance of the modern-day Christmas classic, Elf, the Broadway musical. Discover your inner elf. Phone Deepak at 919-680-2787 for tickets and additional information. This is Durham Performing Arts Center, December the 8th at 10 a.m., Autism Theater Initiative, 123 Vivian Street in Durham. This performance is for individuals on the autism spectrum, as well as people with other developmental or cognitive disabilities who may benefit, but it's not for the general public. What makes it autism-friendly? Well, to create an autism-friendly performance, the show is being performed in a welcoming, supportive environment for individuals on the autism spectrum with sensory and communication disorders or learning disabilities. Slight adjustments to lighting and sound will be made for the performance. In the theater lobby, there will be a break area staffed by specialists in the field if anyone needs to leave the seats during the show. A downloadable social narrative with pictures of the theater and the production will be available, designed to personalize the experience for individuals wishing to prepare for the show. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the Florist Transworld Delivery FTD reported that the number of orders placed today for flowers to be delivered had surpassed the number for any other event in company's history. What was the 1977 event that caused this record number of flowers ordered? Correct answer. the funeral of Elvis Presley on this day back in 1977. As noted in ThoughtCo.com, although rumors are still flying around that Elvis Presley may not be dead, he is. The massive convergence of fans on Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee, in the wake of his death on August the 16th, 1977, is, if nothing else, a testament to the legacy Elvis left behind. President Jimmy Carter, upon learning of the King of Rock and Roll's untimely demise, issued a statement praising Elvis in that he had permanently changed the face of American popular culture. Thousands of fans converged on Memphis in the days following Elvis Presley's death. All city buildings in Memphis immediately lowered their flags to half-staff. Elvis was returned to Graceland on August the 17th, where a public viewing of the casket ordered by Elvis's father Vernon was set up in the foyer. Over 30,000 fans were let in. Elvis's body was laid to rest next to his mother, Gladys Love, in the Forest Hill Cemetery. An estimated 80,000 people came to watch the funeral procession, lining the street and bearing handmade signs expressing their sorrow for the loss of the king. In late August of the same year, a thief attempted to steal the body of Elvis. As a result, both Elvis and his mother's remains were relocated to the Meditation Garden at Graceland. Perhaps because of this, many people have claimed to have seen Elvis Presley over the years since his death. Many conspiracy theorists believe he may have faked his own death as a publicity stunt, or perhaps even a way for him to escape his megastardom, to retire to a quiet life away from the throngs of fans. Despite these rumors, the estate of Elvis Presley firmly continues to affirm Elvis did indeed die of a heart attack in his Graceland home in August 1977. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day, back in 1939, that The Wizard of Oz premiered in New York City. What was the name of the song from that film sung by Judy Garland? And the correct answer is answer A, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So let's close out today's program with a piano rendition of that song which Judy Garland sang in the 1939 award-winning film, The Wizard of Oz. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me. Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.